Asikare yo devikare yo hoine.
Yes, vecho ve malchus ha.
Yes, vecho ve malchus ha.
Shome Shabbos vikare yo devikare.
I'm digging for the week. I don't think it's Shabbos yet.
I'm chilled out.
Shoot dog and mashmo. Okay. Everyone have a chumash, or they could just bring a few, if possible. Wow. Here. In the Aser Sadibra, so this week's Parsha, you look in Yisrael, it's on in the Red Chumashim, it's in a pair of Chav Pasuk Yud Dalu. It's a well-known Pasuk. It says, on page 176, I think in my pagination, Lo Sachmod Beis Re'echa. The Torah says that you're not allowed to covet that which belongs to someone else's home. You walk into a beautiful home, and you are taken aback, and you have a desire to have that kind of a home, or to have that specific home. The Torah says that's a lav. That's a negative commandment. Furthermore, lo sachmareshes ve'echo. You see someone else has a beautiful wife, and you decide to covet her for yourself. It's also a lav. Furthermore, v'abdo v'amaso v'shor v'chamaro v'chol asher ve'echo. So this is one of the Lavim and Aser Sadibros mentioned in Yisrael. Now looking for a moment in Parshas Voeschanan, which is in Dvarim. Look in Dvarim. You know that the Aser Sadibros is repeated twice. So in Dvarim, Perakei, in Parshas Voeschanan, in Pasuk Yud Ches, the Torah once again seems to revisit this Lav. It's page 448 in the Red Chumashim. Here the Torah says, V'lo sachmod eishes ve'echa. Earlier, the Torah spoke about in Yisrael, in this week's Parsha, Beis Ve'echa, Eishes Ve'echa, Abdo Ve'amaso, Shoro Ve'chamoro, and anything that my neighbor has or my friend has. But here, the Torah expressed it somewhat differently. First it says, Lo Sachmod Eishes Ve'echa, not to covet your friend's wife. And then it says, Belosis Abe, Beis Ve'echa. What's the distinction between the language of Lo Sachmod and the language of Los Isabe? What word do you see in the language of Los Isabe? Which word do you see in the Shorash there? Tava. Correct. Taiva refers to desire. So we have to understand the distinction between Los Sachmod and Los Isabe. So here the Torah uses almost a similar, describing similar situations, namely, Beis Ve'echa Sadeu, Abdu Ve'amaso, Shor Ve'chamaro, but instead he uses the language of Los Isabe. So we have in the Dibros of Rishonos, Los Sachmod, and the Dibros Achronos, we have the language of Los Isabe. There's a very famous Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra here asked the following question. He says, many people are wondering about this mitzvah. How is it possible that the Torah can command us not to covet? What does it mean to covet in English? Not to have a desire. for someone else's property. It's one thing the Torah tells me, lo signov. The Torah tells me not to steal. The Torah tells me, lo sigzol, not to engage in an act of gezel. The Torah tells me, shall we say, not to go ahead and do something which involves a certain action. But after the Torah tells me, lo sachmod or lo sisave, that obviously is something which is totally what? In my heart. Correct? How does a person show late on their heart? We all have all types of desires. We have all kinds of machshavos. How could the Torah command us, lo sachmod? It's one thing if the Torah tells us not to do a maisa avera, a specific action. That I understand. But when the Torah tells us to control our desires, to control our machshavos, how is that possible? So, there are some Rishonim who learned, what does lo sachmo mean? Lo sachmo means, let's say you have a friend, and you want to purchase something from him, but he's not interested in selling it. So what do? You start pressuring him. You apply all kinds of lachatz, that he should sell the item to you. So that's how some Rishonim learned lo sachmo. And what about lo sisave? That you should not even begin to think of all kinds of machinations, how I'm going to get that item from my friend. You want to get that item, you have something that I want. So either I pressure you, that's lo sachmo, according to some Rishonim, or I think of all kinds of ways and means, all kinds of subterfuges and machinations, how I'm going to get that item. And that, according to many Rishonim, is lo sisave. And obviously, you don't want to sell it. So according to that, if that's the pshat, which by the way happens to be the Rambam's pshat in Hilchos Gzeila Vaveda, that's how the Rambam distinguishes between lo sachmo and lo sisave. So then the Ibn Ezra's kasha is not a question. Because that a person is capable of controlling. When it comes to thinking of different ways I'm going to acquire the object from you or compel you to sell the object to me, that I'm able to control. No question about it. However, the Ibn Ezra clearly did not understand lo sachmod and lo sisave in such way. He understood lo sachmod and lo sisave, I'm not allowed to have a desire. So, how is that possible? So the Ibn Ezra gives the following answer. I'm going to read part of the Ibn Ezra, which is a very famous Ibn Ezra, and he says the following. He says, Etein l'chol moshal. I'm going to give you a parable. Da ki ish kafri. He's talking about someone who's a peasant farmer. Someone who lives in the rural area, v'hura basmela shehiyofa, and one day the princess comes with her entourage in the countryside, and he sees her. Says the Ibn Ezra, do you think he's going to have a desire, this peasant farmer, that is going to marry that princess? Lo yachmon osa b'libo. He says, why will he not even have a desire? Because yeda shezelo yitochen. It's not possible. Not in a million years will that, shall we say, aristocratic princess consort with this plebeian peasant. Let's be polite. Farmer. That's what the Ibn Ezra writes. And the F4 says, Ibn Ezra, everyone should recognize that that which Hashem gave me, that's what I deserve to have. I should be sameach b'chelki. V'lo yosim elibo lachmo d'liyisavos davar sheino shelo. Once a person knows that my friend's wife is also to me, and once a person knows that my friend's possessions are not mine but they're his, it should be no different than the situation of a kafri, as he calls him, a ben kfar, someone who's a peasant, someone who's a farmer, not of, shall we say, great aristocratic kind of the lower caste, if you will, who sees a princess of aristocratic mien, M-I-E-N, and clearly should not have a desire for her. So too, Hashem wants us to, in a similar kind of fashion, he says, anything which is not mine should be comparable to this situation of a bas melech and a kafir. That's what the Ibn Ezra writes in a very famous mashal. However, there's a Beis Halevi who actually adds to this comment of the Ibn Ezra. And there's a very striking Beis Halevi, which I think I would share with you, and I'll just give you a mashal, lema dova dome. Once in my life, I decided, I think I was about, it was before my bar mitzvah. So there's a rink in the Rockefeller Center, which is in New York City, called Wallman Rink. I don't know if it's still there. Still there? And I decided I wanted to go ice skating. The problem was I did not know how to ice skate. Didn't have a clue. So two of my chaverim, if you want to call them that, you'll see in a moment why. Two of my chaverim said, no problem. They know how to ice skate. They'll go with me and we're going to waltz like pelicans on the ice. And so they take me. I got ice skates. And we start waltzing down the ice. Wow, it was outstanding. About 10 seconds later, they let go of me. And about 3 seconds later, I broke my ankle. And I was lying on the ice, writhing in pain. That was the first time I went ice skating in my life, and the last time I went ice skating. So there's a Beis Halevi, a striking Beis Halevi. He's not exactly talking about ice skating, but of a similar nature, he writes, I'll read you his Lashon. He asks the same kasha as the Ibn Ezra, and he gives the following answer. He quotes the Ibn Ezra, and after he quotes the Ibn Ezra, he wants to give a mashal. He says, a person is about to, I have a great taiva for something, and each of us have different taivas, different desires that we would like to realize, and I start pursuing it, and my yetzahara takes hold of me, it's burning in me like a fire, and in order to get to this taiva, I have to walk across a nahar hakafui mikerach, a pond that is completely iced over. I lived in Toronto for a fair number of years, but I understood that this past winter, in a number of different areas in the United States, they actually had this similar kind of phenomena, as I was told.
My street.
Your street? Where?
New
Rochelle, unbelievable. And I saw, actually, people showed me this last month or two, a number of sirtonim, little videos of buses that were absolutely out of control, sliding on ice, not so pleasant, especially since there were buses full of school children, and things of that sort. So the Ibn Ezra says, the Beis Halevi rather says, so a guy realized in order to get to that taiva, he has to go on a nohar hakafui mikerach. But of course, his desire is so strong, it's overpowering, it's overwhelming, he's going to do it, no matter what happens. But on the way, guess what happens? Suddenly, he slips on the ice. That's with Lashon of the Ibn Ezra. Nechiko raglo alakfor. And guess what? At that moment, he breaks the ice. Tarte mashma. Tarte mashma means there's a double entendre here. Breaking the ice. Forget about it. Okay, thank you. And a moment later, he's beginning to sink. Because he made a hole, he broke the ice, and now he's going under. Says the Beis Halevi. At that moment, do you think he has a taiva? Goodbye taiva. Goodbye yetzahara. He's just worried about holding on for dear life. The fear that he has at that moment, forget about any taiva. All gone. V.M. Cain says the Ibn Ezra, which is really the Beis Halevi now, but it's the same Yisod. V.M. Cain HaChavesh Yizhir HaTorah B'Lavdo Lo Sachmod V'Asra HaTorah Lachmod, says the Beis Halevi. That's exactly how we should, shall we say, view taiva. It's as if we are on a frozen tundra, on a frozen pond, iced over, and suddenly there's a crack, and we're about to fall in. At that moment, all your taivas obviously go down the drain very quickly. That's how a person should see any situation of avera that a person, God forbid, might violate. He should see himself in that kind of setting. Wow. The Beis Halevi was known, by the way, for his unbelievable Yirat Shamayim. I heard from Rav Soloveitchik, that's his great-grandfather, and he used to speak about the Beis Halevi, who was a classical briska, among the early briskas, if you will. And anyone who knows about brisk, that they are a group of very, very nervous people. We don't have too many briskas in this yeshiva. We have actually two or three. Anyone know who the briskas here are? Rav Reichman. He is the antithesis of brisk. He is 3,000 degrees away from Brisk. That's true. I will tell you the Mashal Amad Dava Dome. I sat at Rabbi Soloveitchik's shiur for many years, and the moment I would approach the shiur on a daily basis, I began to shake. I'm not exaggerating, Ari. I began to shake. I had the shakes for 13 years, as long as I was in the shiur. I was frightened out of my wits. Why? Because the pasuk says one has to have yira for one's Rebbe. So I had yira, pachad, everything else. You can just list a few other adjectives along the way. Because I was sitting in front of the Gadol HaDor, and I was absolutely in awe, literally. But it was not just an awe, it was almost a pachad of one of the Gadol HaDor. And so trust me, during those moments, I had nothing to think about except for the pachad of sitting in front of the Gadol HaDor. That's how I compared this Ibn Ezra and Beis Halevi to that. That's my analogy, since I can no longer go ice skating. That's obviously a very high madrega. But I would like to, if you will, answer the Ibn Ezra's kasha in a different way. And I'm going to show you a pasuk which you are familiar with, I assume. Look in Dvarim for a moment, in Perek Dalet, in Pashas Vayeschanan, the very beautiful pasuk. Perek Dalet, pasuk Tes and Yud. The Torah here describes the obligation, according to the Ramban anyway, there's both the mitzvah say and the mitzvah lo say. It's on page 443, Perek Dalet, pasuk Tes. The Torah says, "Raki shomer lecha u'shmor nafshich amod pentishkach esadvarim asheru einecha." The Torah doesn't want us to forget Maimon HaSinai, that unbelievable monumental event. Ufen yasuim bevavcho kol yemei chayecha. What Rabbi Roth actually just spoke about this week. Vodatem bevanecha v'dei bevanecha. There's an obligation of mitzvah say according to the Ramban to transmit the experience of Maimon HaSinai. By the way, there's a very nice sefer called Darash Yosef. I actually know the author. And so in the Akdama, in the preamble to that Savior, which is in English, the author quotes a Tosfos Chagiga, and that Tosfos Chagiga describes really what I consider to be what I essentially underwent on a daily basis in Rabbi Soloveitchik's shiur. I thought every day I was in Maimon HaSinai. Every day I sat in Rabbi Soloveitchik's shiur. That's what I thought. I thought Hashem was appearing in Kolos Ubrokim, and I was literally sitting at the foot of Maimon HaSinai. And there's a Tosfos Chagiga like that. Anyway, the Torah says here, Yom Asher Avata, Pasuk Yud, Levnei Hashem Elokecha Bechorei. So the Torah wants us that to remember Maimon HaSinai, even though it happened thousands of years ago, but every moment, every second, that's how a person should learn Torah. Be'ema, Be'ira, Bereses, Be'zeya, the way I learned Torah, the way I tried to learn Torah when I was sitting in Rabbi Soloveitchik's shiur. That's what Kabbalah Satorah was, Be'har Sinai, it's a Gemara in Brachas. And Daf Chopez, the Gemara says that, Be'ema, Be'ira, Bereses, Be'zeya. Now, it's hard to do that, but that's how the Torah wants us, that we should have that regesh, that incredibly overpowering, emotional high, when we learn Torah, ki'ilo, we're at Har Sinai. So, if someone were to ask me at that moment of Eima, of Yira, of Har Sinai, when I was sitting before in the feet of Rabbi Soloveitchik, if someone were to ask me, do you now have a desire for your friend's daughter, or for your friend's wife, what would you say? First of all, I couldn't even open up my mouth. My mouth was congealed. I couldn't open up my mouth in the presence of my Rebbe. But certainly, I would say, certainly not. I have no desire whatsoever. There's a puzzling of Shir Hashirim, those who say Shir Hashirim. Anyone here say Shir Hashirim on Friday night? What? Mendel. You say it. Oh, Mendel also says it, right. Nafshi Yotza Bidabro. The famous puzzling of Shir Hashirim. I think it's in Parakeh. The Gemara in Shabbos, Gemara in Peches. He quoted it, Rabbi Rothwax. The Gemara says, Parcha Nishmasam, their neshamas literally left them at Har Sinai. They reached such a madrega. They reached the madrega, what's called his Pashtus Hagashmias. How do you translate that, Mendel? Their bodies were incorporeal. How do you translate that? They were no longer with a goof. They somehow, their persona left there. They were only Dovuk and Ruchnias. Only connected to Ruchnias, the spirituality. So the only Ben Ezra's Kasha is no Kasha. Why? If I live on an ongoing basis, 24/7, that where am I? At Maimon HaSinai, I have no chemda, I have no taiva, zero, it's all gone. That's quite a madrega. You're probably on that madrega. I want to be on that madrega, so I should follow you around, Mitzvah Hashem, and hopefully try to achieve that level. It's very interesting. The first Ramah, Shulchan Aruch, you're all familiar with the Ramah, except for the Sfardim. But Rabbi Avadia, Zatzal, knew every Mechaber, every Ramah, every Mishnah Berurah, every Taz, every Shach. Didn't make a difference to him. Ashkenazim, Sfardim, they're all the same. They're all teaching Torah. What's the first Ramah say in Shulchan Aruch? It was mentioned the other day also. Shivisi Hashem, Lenegdi Tomid. How should a person see Hashem in front of him? 24/7. The Ramah says, Klal Gola Batorah Uvimalos HaTzadikim. Namely, that a person should see, the Ramah writes over there, Sha'amelech HaGola HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omid Olav Ruah B'masav. If a person somehow could get to that point where you see Hashem Yisbarach 24/7. Soloveitchik, you know how he used to talk? He talked like this. I'm going to have a date with the Ribbono Shel Olam. So when I first heard that, I thought he was a little bit... It is a romantic relationship that I have with the Ribbono Shel Olam. He had a romance with Hashem Yisbarach. And the romance was through Limud HaTorah. That was the romance. And that's exactly what the Torah apparently is telling us over here. That's why there's no issue of Lo Sachman and Lo Sisaveh. If a person has this 24/7 consciousness that I'm in the presence of Hashem Yisbarach, and that's not an easy thing to do. I agree. But you are clearly almost there. And halavai, I should be near you. I'm trying. I hope you'll give me credit for that. All of us have to make that hishtadlus. And it can happen. And you know how it happens? I will now tell you another yesod. There's a pasuk in Dvarim, since we're there already. In Dvarim, where is that? Perek Yud. Look in Perek Yud in Dvarim for a second. In Pashas Ekev. Perek Yud, pasuk Chaf. It's on page 459 over here. Baruch ato Adonai Elohim Melech Olam Shehakol Mi'ah B'Dvarim. Ganeden Natachto. There's a pasuk in Dvarim. In pasuk Chaf, you see that Perek Yud? Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, Oso Sa'avo, Uvo Sidbok. What does that mean, Uvo Sidbok? What's a simple pshat? It's actually one of the Tariq mitzvahs. What mitzvah is that, Uvo Sidbok? One should cling to whom? To Hashem. So the Gemara has the Kasha, the famous Gemara. It's a Gemara in Ksubis, it's also elsewhere. The Gemara asks, how is it possible? Can a person be Dovek B'Shechina? Can I connect to the Shechina? When Hashem is described as what? In Perek Dalet, I believe, Hashem is described here as Eish Ochla, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Chaf Dalet. Hashem is an all-consuming fire. Says the Gemara, Kol Amasi Bitul Otamah Chacham, if you marry off your daughter to Otamah Chacham. I actually did that. To someone that you might know. And guess what yeshiva he learned in? He learned in Yeshiva Torah Shraga. Do you believe that? No, you're right. He actually learned Mechavusu with the Rosh Hashiva. I used to observe that. And that Rebbe over there, the Mashkiach, HaKadosh V'Ator, whom I call the Schlong in the Feld, the Snake in the Field, he arranged that Shidduch through his manipulative fashion. Oh, Hashem. Anyway, so it says you're supposed to marry off your daughter to a Talmid Chacham, and if you do business with Talmidei Chachamim, so the Gemara says Keilo Midabik B'Shechina, and that's the way to be Midabik B'Shechina. How do you connect to the Shechina? By connecting to Talmidei Chachamim, by connecting to Torah scholars. And there's a Chazal. Again, I can read it to you. Actually, the Lashon of the Chinuch. The Chinuch of Mitzvah Tov Lamed Dalid. It's also a Rambam in Sefer Mitzvahs Mitzvah Asei Bov. I read part of the Lashon. Lishtadel Sheyisa Bas Talmid Chacham. The Asibitul Talmud Chacham, the Lechol Belishtos and Talmidei Chachamim. That's why at lunchtime I sit with Rabbi Ifra, because I like to sit with Talmidei Chachamim. And with the other Rabbanim I sit with, Rabbi Reichman Shlita, and all the other Shlitas, Baruch Hashem, they should all have live Ad Meah V'Shishim Shana. Amen. Good health, and so should all of you. Ad Meah Shmonim Shana. So that's a Rambam. The Rambam Hilchos Deis, etc., etc. But obviously, this is a Madrega that is not easy to reach, but certainly one could be Dabak to Talmidei Chachamim. That one can do. And in my days, I used to stalk Talmidei Chachamim. I actually still do. I recently, and when I go to America, I went to America actually about 2 months ago, approximately a month and a half ago, and I usually when I go to America, I go to visit, I try to visit some of the Dolei Ador. So I went to visit Avdavid Feinstein, Hagoyin Avdavid Feinstein, one of the sons of Amasha Feinstein Zatzal. He's a youngster, he's about 88, the I know. And usually what I do is I ask him kashes on his father's farm. Steer us in the Igros Meshe. Ke'ilu. So he always tells me, Rabbi David, there are no steerists in my father's farm. What he wrote 70 years ago, he knew 70 years later. He didn't forget anything. At one point, Rabbi Moshe was frightened that he thought he began to forget. And he was apparently in his 90s. He was a little bit concerned. And he then set over, shall we say, an entire Simon and Shulchan Aruch, every Taz and every Magad Avraham, Mila b'mila, word for word, every Mechaber, every Ramah. Then he realized that he was still, Baruch Hashem, still holding, still in the Parsha. But there's no question that one should try to connect with Talmidei Chacham. And Baruch Hashem, we have no shortage of Talmidei Chacham in our yeshiva. We have Rabbeim who are outstanding Rabbeim. I say, I wish I had been zochet to such Rabbeim that you're zochet to. I say that very honestly, because you are connected with them much more than I was connected with many of my Rabbeim in my days, who are not easy to connect with. But that is the mitzvah of Ubo Sidbak, connecting to Talmidei Chachamim. So, just going back to, maybe I shouldn't even mention something which is to me a chiddush, but it's a chiddush that I discovered a number of years ago, and perhaps you will judge whether this chiddush is correct or not. There is a machlokes, I think, the Rambam and the Ramban, with reference to this mitzvah, Ubo Sidbak. I'll read you the Lashon Rambam, Mitzvah Seivav. He says, the mitzvah is, Lidovik im HaChachomim, to connect to Talmidei HaChachomim. And the Rambam also writes in Hilchos Deis, he says, Lidovik b'yodav, to connect with those people who know Torah. And then he writes in the Halacha, Mitzvah say, Lidovik b'chachomim b'talmideim, to connect with Talmidei HaChachomim. Hilchos Deis, Perek Vav, Halacha Beis. Why does the Rambam say we should do that? We should try to emulate their ways. And we should try to emulate their hashkafa and their outlook on life and their perspective on things and their velchang. And then he writes in the Halacha, they are role models for us. We should know how to behave, how to act. And the Chinuch also writes in a similar fashion, Mitzvah Tafla Medalid, the Chinuch says, Shenitzavinu lehischaber ulehisdabek im chachmei Torah. We should connect to the great Dolim, kidei shenilmod imayim mitzvah seh hanichbados. We should learn the beautiful mitzvahs of the Torah. V'yoreinu hadeos ha'amitios ba. We should know exactly how to behave. That's how the Rambam and the Chinuch define this mitzvah of Ubos Sidbak. However, the Ramban has a completely different understanding of this mitzvah. How does the Ramban understand Ubos Sidbak? He writes, I'm now reading the Ramban al Torah, Uledovka bo, namely, Shelo tiporein mashavto min Hashem el Elohim acherim. 24/7 to be connected to whom? To Hashem Yisbarach. Not to be masiach das from Hashem Yisbarach, from the Almighty, for 1 second, for 1 moment. El Hashem levado yavod belibo v'masov. And the Ramban says that's what it means. Ubo sidbak. Bo refers to what? Not to Talmidei Chacham, but rather to Hashem. And the Ramban goes further. He says, "V'yitochim b'yamshi amayla." Those people of this stature, shetia nafshem gam b'chayeim tzrua b'tzrua chayim, that even when they're alive, they're connected. Tia machshavtom b'hem tomi ledovka b'shem anichba v'anora. They don't separate for a moment from Hashem Yisbarach. So the Ramban writes here in Dvarim. So there's a machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban on the pshat in this pasuk about sidbak. Does it refer to connecting to Talmidei Chachamim, to Gdolei Yisrael, to great Torah scholars? Or is it referring to a connection to Hashem Yisbarach directly? But unquestionably, if one connects to Talmidei Chachamim, that clearly is the entree to connecting to Hashem Yisbarach. Because they are connected to Hashem Yisbarach in every sense of the word. Most of my life, I tried my darndest and my hardest to connect to Talmidei Chachamim. From the time I'm a young man, I was zoche actually to daven in a shul where the rabbi was Rabbi Chil Milch Chalap, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. If you know, there's a menayel, he's still actually active, Baruch Hashem, Ken Yirbu, Hashem Shigim, Marichas Yomim. Rav Zulun Chalap was a menayel in Yeshiva Sabanei Yisrael Chanan, BYU, for many, many years. His father, I dabbed in his father's shul, when I was a little kid. His father is the son of Rav Yaakov Moshe Chalap, who's a Yushalmi Gon, Yushalmi Tzadi, close to Rav Kook Zatzal. And he was an astounding personality. And his son came to America, fortunately or unfortunately, in the 30s because of the depression that was taking place not only in America but in Eretz Yisrael as well. He was much worse and felt need to leave and came to America. And at the age of 5 or 6 years old, my father used to take me to hear his drushes on Shabbos afternoon. He spoke either in Hebrew or Yiddish. He didn't speak a word of English then. Later on, he acquired some English, but not exactly the most articulate English. So I used to look at him. There were 1,000 people who came to hear him. This is in the Bronx, Olav HaShalom, New York, but many, many decades ago. And I heard him for a number of years. I didn't understand a word he was saying. But my father told me, you come just to V'hoyu einecha ro'os es marecha. Mechaber of 30, 40 Sfarim on Shas. He himself, I'm not talking about Yaakov Moshe Chalap, he was mechaber 50, 60 Sfarim. A bit later, I decided, my father, that is, we used to daven in a number of different shuls. One of the shuls we daven was the Shver of Rabbi Gordon, Harav, a professor of mathematica, Harav Gordon, Mosog Midvash V'Neifet Sufin, sweet as honey, and sweeter than the droppings of the honeycomb, who's a Talmid Chacham Otzum, for those who know him, and a Tzadik Yisrael Eilam. Don't tell him I said this. He will get upset with me beyond belief. His Shver, his father-in-law had a shul in the Bronx. Harav Avigdor Tzipperstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and also another Gadol. And my father davened there as well. And then I went to another shul, all in the Bronx, of a Rav. His name was Rav Shraga Feivel Peretzky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. He learned in Radma, the Chafetz Chaim. My father felt it was kedai for me to get connected to him as well. So I davened in a lot of different shuls of Gedolei Yisrael. And because of Rav Shraga Feivel Peretzky, I met Rav Mendel Zaks, who happened to be the Bochid of YU. He's the son of the Chafetz Chaim, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. I spoke about him earlier today, in terms of a certain minog that he had. I once asked him a question in Tanakh. I thought I would catch him. I asked him about a Rashi in Dira Yomim that bothered me. Maybe I was probably 13, 14 years old. So first he only spoke in Yiddish. First he corrected me the way I quoted the Rashi, which he knew by heart. That was left me pretty flustered. And then he proceeded to explain to me the entire Rashi in Divrei Yomim, right on the spot. And he was also a great tzaddik, a Malach Hashem Tzokos. In the course of the years, I was zochet to have Rashi Yeshiva, who I had learned by the Briskov, Rav Soloveitchik's uncle, Rav Velva Soloveitchik, and I followed them around. One of them was a Rav I speak about from time to time, Rav Yochum Gurelik. He was a Kanoi Muflok, unbelievable zealot, very, very sharp person. I'll tell you a story about him, which you will probably get a kick of. I was a Rav in the Bronx when I first started my, quote-unquote, illustrious career. I'm just joking. And he started davening in my shul, which was very frightening. A Talmud of the Briskov, and he was a Kanoi Muflok. And he never was too happy about my drushes. And he used to, shall we say, sometimes be critical of my drushes. I was a very young man. It was many decades ago. Anyway, one day he asked me if he could darshan, and it was Aseret Yemei Tshuva. So I figured I couldn't say no to him. And in Yiddish, he gets up and says the following drusha. Now, the shul was a shul that had many, many people who were not observant. It was many years ago. And people used to come there on Shabbos, and sometimes on Yom Tov, there were people who were not observant who came on Yom Tov. But he's a briska and a kanoi. He gets up and tells the following story in Yiddish, of course. That's what the people spoke to. I didn't speak Yiddish, I spoke in English. But many people understood Yiddish. So he said that one day in Mars, they decided to send a rocket ship down to planet Earth to see what's going on over here on this planet. And so they sent what they used to call then a Sputnik, when the first cosmonauts went into space from Russia. That's what they called it, a Sputnik. They sent a rocket down to Earth. But the problem was they made a mistake, they miscalculated, and the rocket landed in a sewer. They get out, it's a little grimy, not too pleasant, the surroundings, the ambience. Okay, they begin to take out their lab equipment to start doing some experiments to see exactly what the nature of terra firma on Earth is all about. At nighttime, people start, obviously, come home and start using the facilities, and things got pretty grotesque over there. They said to themselves, what? This is what planet Earth is all about? A place, as he described it, full of schmutz, verschmutzigen ganzen, and obviously malodorous. That means that it had a very strong, pungent, terrible odor. Fetid smell, F-E-T-I-D. And on, they said, we're packing up and getting out of here. So then Rav Gruelich said, that's the mashal. What's the nimshal? Ich komm from Mars. I come from Brisk, Mars. Where did I land in this shul? In a sewer. And I'm the rub of the shul, and I'm trying to find a place to hide under my shtender, under the benches, under the table. I couldn't believe it. You can imagine what happened in terms of the Balabatim who were there. Several of them told me later, they would have killed him on the spot if it were not for Shabbos. I said, what does Shabbos have to do with Ritzin? So, I sometimes say to myself, that's how he viewed us. He's from Brisk. He learned by Brisk Love. They were holding and learning Kalayomiko Alayla. He was dovuk to Brisk Love. Matter of fact, everything he did, and some of his colleagues all are kosher to Brisk Love, to the Anhogas of the Brisk Love. They used to follow the Brisk Love. Every jot and tittle called Sad Bishal of his life, they were Mekayim of El Sidbuk in every sense of the word. So that's how he saw America. He used to tell me, America, he once went over, came to my house, and I had actually, when I first married, we used to have on our table, we didn't have real flowers and fruit, we had plastic bananas, plastic oranges, for the aesthetic, decorative purposes. So he came over one day into the house, he's about to take a banana, and then he realizes, plastic! Das nicht geneichel! Was ist das? The ganze Welt is plastic! The whole world is plastic, and you're plastic, and the world is plastic. So that was his perspective on things. In some respects, I look at myself in a similar kind of fashion. Your generation is a different generation than mine. But you know something? What happened to those people who were zochet to see Rabbi Yochanan Gruelich and Gedolei Olam? Those who, Baruch Hashem, got it and absorbed the messages they were trying to, shall we say, convey? Baruch Hashem became B'nai Torah, Yirei Mishleimim. And that's what's happening here in the yeshiva. Right in front of me, I see it. Ashreichem! That means, how do I translate that? Happy are you! V'ashrei chelkechem. That through the Torah, and through both Sidbok, and Yom Kippur both Sidbok, doubly, both by connecting Talmidei Chachamim, the Yeshiva, the Rabbeim, the Yeshiva, our outstanding Talmidei Chachamim, and we have quite a, shall we say, variety, which is the spice of life, as my father used to say. So we have a divergent crew, and derech these Talmidei Chachamim, you're also connecting to Hashem Yisbarach. So, really, everything, it's a galgal hachozer. That's what I see in my lifetime. I saw it with Rav Gruelich over 40 years ago, responded as he did, and Baruch Hashem, I see it, Bizmaneinu Anu, again, Baruch Hashem, with such a wonderful group of Talmidei Chachamim, a budding Bnei Torah, I see it as well. So just going back to the what I began with earlier, which is the issue of Lo Sachmod, again, often, I just want to mention this, and I'm very, my father was very troubled by this. My father was troubled by the fact that sometimes in advertising, people advertise their wares. They want to convince others to buy something which really I have no interest in it whatsoever. You're not aware of that? That's what the whole world is all about. They're trying to convince me to purchase this item and that item and the other item. So my father thought, they are over on what love? Lo sachma. What do you say to that? Is that not a chiddush? Wow. My nafkamina, if a person, if I desire your item, which belongs to you, and I'm ready to pay money for it, or, shall we say, they convince me, even though I have no need for this item, you go into a store, you plan on buying one thing, and then they either come over to you, or the advertisements are just so overwhelming, you buy 70 other things that you never planned on buying the chatchila. My father held it was Lo Sachma, a violation of Lo Sachma. Yesh b'zeh makom ladun. I'm not here to discuss that problem right now. I'm only mentioning it because, as I said, our chemda should be only for chemdas haTorah. We should have a desire to learn Torah. Eretz Yisrael is described as Eretz Chemda Tova Rechava, a land which one should desire. And one of the reasons for desiring Eretz Yisrael is because of the Torah that exists here in Eretz Yisrael, and because of all the wonderful Rabbeim that you are zochet to have and to appreciate and to learn from. I assume, I'm sure, probably you're aware of a very beautiful letter of the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon writes in a letter that it's lo kedai, he says, that a person should leave a lot of money to his yorshim, to those who will inherit him afterwards. Because, essentially, whatever a person needs, Hashem is going to give you. The Gemara says in Gittin, Adaf Mem Zayin, Reish Lakish, when he passed away, he left a kav shel karkom, which is apparently a small vial of some b'samim, and he said, "V'azul acherim chelim." One has to realize in this world there are a lot of evanescent items that are really transient and transitory. They're not items that last. They're not durable. When a person comes to Olam HaEmes, you have to come, as the Gemara says, Ashe Mishabalakan, where does the expression go? B'talmud abiyadah. Many people come, Ashe Mishabalakan, and they present HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'iPhone biyadah, V'smartphone biyadah. That's not what Hashem Yisbarach wants. He wants B'talmud abiyadah. He wants to see that we have people who have, as a result of studying Torah, absorbed values and absorbed a certain hashkafa, and recognize the fact that Hashem should be the very center of our lives. And that's a very significant and probably the most significant element I want you to try to acquire in the course of a year in Eretz Yisrael. So I just want to end by wishing you a bracha. And the bracha is really a bracha to all of us, that we should somehow be zocheh to recognize that there are two parshas of Maimon HaSinai. I once heard in the 60s, Rabban Soloveitchik Zatzal, he was someone I also followed around as long as he was in New York City, till he left for Chicago. But as long as he was in New York City, I followed him around and tried to emulate Rabban Soloveitchik to the extent that I can. I mentioned Alec Jerome Shlita, my Rebbe, who unfortunately left us a short while ago. So he showed me something that I was present at, but I had really, many years ago, 1985, the 50th yahrzeit of Rav Kook Zatzal. So I went to Breuer's in Washington Heights to hear five Gedolei Yisrael, since I was in the process of stalking them. One of them was Avraham Soloveitchik. He told the following story over. He said that 40 years before then, in 1945, he met a Gadol who knew Rav Kook, and Rav Kook came to Valozhin, Yeshiva Valozhin, with three pair of tefillin. I told the story. He came with three pair of tefillin. One was Rashi tefillin that he wore. Second was Avinu Tam, he wore after Rashi. And the third was a small pair of Rashi tefillin that he wore Kol Hayom. And then it seemed there was a Yeshiva Valozhin approved of his wearing tefillin kol hayom. But you couldn't really see the tefillin because they used to wear caps. They didn't have hats then. In Valozhin, they wore caps. And more or less, his tefillin was covered. But then there were others in the yeshiva who saw he's wearing tefillin kol yom, and they were upset. Why don't they wear tefillin kol yom? They also wanted to wear tefillin the entire day. Tesis writes in Sukkah, and the Rishonim mentioned it a number of times, that's the ideal, to wear tefillin kol yom. So they went to the Netziv, and the Netziv said, he's a gaon and a tzaddik. He was 19 years old. He's a gaon and a tzaddik, that's why he can wear tefillin kol yom. So they said, but there are other gaonim and tzaddikim in the yeshiva baloshet, which is true. So the Netziv said, yes, there are a lot of gaonim and tzaddikim, but he has another quality which many of you don't have, or most of you don't have, or all of you don't have. He's a yashar. He's someone who's totally straight and glatt and honest, and that's what Rav Kook Zatzal was all about. And that's a quality which one should acquire. So there are two parshas of Aseret HaDibros, one in Yisro and one in Vaschanan. The difference between them is one is intellectual, the parsha in Yisro, but one in Vaschanan is Mali Regesh. It speaks of the Eish HaTorah, the fire of Torah. And what Torah does is a fire. Torah burns and is actually cathartic. The Gemara says in Brachas, Halo kod varai ka'esh nu'um Hashem, ma'esh in the mekabal tumah, avdi return the mekabal tumah. So even if someone is tameh, even if someone is, shall we say, not yet, I haven't reached the highest madrega, it doesn't make a difference. Torah is esh, and Torah can actually be a cathartic, and some completely be matayar us. And Baruch Hashem, we have all the opportunity to re-experience on a daily basis, ma'imin ha'sinai. How? By being in the base, shraga workout, 2 hours, 6 hours, 10 hours. I can't learn 2 minutes straight. And there are people here who learn 10 hours straight. It's insanity! Baruch Hashem, we have some insane people. Ken Yirbu! These insane people should increase the number. I hope all of you become insane. In that vein. Halavai we should be zocher to learn basmada with the Eish HaTorah, and there be zocher to all the brachas of Maimon HaSinai.